Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. All because of God's amazing grace. Praise the Lord for God's grace. What in the world would we have to look forward to without God's grace? Amen. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing number 480. 480, just before Pastor Randy comes to preach this morning. 480. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. On the second stanza, the children can be dismissed to children's church. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Stanza 2. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. And on the last, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Thank you. Be seated, please.
Well, it's good to see you this morning, and I thank you for being here. I want to share with you a little bit about some observations from the encounter between David and Goliath. It's a common story, a familiar story, and yet it's a story that has lots of lessons, and I'd like to just see if we can glean a few of those today. I'd like to invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 with me, please. Time does not allow me to go into a lot of the background, but I believe the story is familiar to most of us. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 17... let's begin with verse 4, please. It says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." This giant had been doing this day and night for some time, and this giant was a real problem for the Israelites. Nobody wanted to fight him. And he was out there, and he was a menace every day. He was an ever-present reminder. He was a giant in their lives. And, you know, This is not the only time that there have been giants. All of us from time to time have giants in our lives as well. Those giants can be trials or testings. They can be difficulties. They can be medical issues or monetary issues, money issues. They can be relationship problems or children problems or marriage problems. Giants are not uncommon. David and Goliath is a story about a real giant, but giants are in our lives all the time. And I'd like to just take some time this morning. If you look down at verse 40 of that same chapter, we know there's a lot of dialogue that goes on, and David shows up. And we get to verse 40, and we see this. This is David, and he, David, took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So David chose to face off against a giant, and what did he choose? He chose 5 smooth stones. I really appreciate the Bible's specificity. God didn't have to tell us how many he took, but he took 5. He took 5 smooth stones from the little stream that runs through the valley there, and he takes these 5 smooth stones, and you can picture him picking them out carefully, because the smoother and the rounder they are, the better they fly. And he picks out 5 smooth stones, and I guess he felt like 5 was enough against this guy. 5 was enough. I know in police work that when we would go on a SWAT call out, and I would have my rifle and I have my pistol, I usually had between my magazines about 85 rounds. David went with 5. That tells you a lot about his confidence in what was happening there. And he took 5 stones. And I want to use those 5 stones, that number, as just kind of a placeholder for 5 things that we see David do that helped him succeed. 5 things, 5 smooth stones. Because David chose to face off, and the guy was bigger than him. The guy was stronger than him. Better equipped than him. I mean, this guy had greaves and a shield and a shield bearer and a coat of mail and a shield on his back and a spear and a sword and helmet. And I mean, this guy was just way more equipped and stronger. And this guy had fought a lot of battles. David had never fought a soldier. And in his talking with Saul, he said, "Well, I fought bears and lions," but he never fought a soldier in battle. And definitely, the giant was more intimidating than the shepherd boy. Okay, and so from all appearances, this is a very one-sided affair, and yet we know the end of the story. And so I'd like to just take some time this morning and say, what did David do that helped him win, besides just sling a stone? Let's take a look. Let's pray, though. God, I want to thank you for this morning, Lord. I pray that we would learn from the story of David and Goliath. I pray that we would appreciate the things that he did, and we would glean them for ourselves as well. In Christ's name, amen. When we are faced with things, with pressures, with difficult things, and I think back over my own life, the different things that have happened to me or happened in my life or happened to others around me that have put pressure on me, those things can feel like a giant. Those things can feel large and imposing and insurmountable at times. And as we study this passage, we see some things that David had and did. The first stone I want to refer to is David had a godly heart. Samuel was talking to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Turn back there with me, please. First Samuel chapter 13, and look at verse 14. Samuel, of course, has told Saul that he's done foolishly and not kept the commandment of the Lord, and he was not going to have the kingdom anymore. And in verse 14, Samuel says to him, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." So God went looking for someone to replace Saul, and he found David. And he refers to him as a man after his own heart. "And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So we see here that in God's selection of David to be Saul's successor, he was a man after God's heart. And the same thing is said of him, by the way, in Acts chapter 13. He says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David was facing a giant, and his heart was right. Okay? His heart was right. His heart was in line with God's. His heart was beating with God's. David had a time in 1 Kings when The God tells him, go tell Jeroboam in 1 Kings 14, thus saith the Lord of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that which was right in mine eyes. See, God said David was a man after his heart. Now, David wasn't perfect, and there's consolation in that for us, because none of us are either. We know that David did things he shouldn't have done, that he sinned and he made mistakes and he sought forgiveness. But David had a heart for God. And folks, I got to tell you that when we face giants in our life, it's very important that we have a heart for God, because that's going to tell us, that's going to guide us, that's our go-to spot. If I am far from God when crisis comes, I may never go back to Him. But if I am close to God and clinging to God and have a heart like God's, then when the crisis comes, I turn to Him because He's right there in my life. You see, having a heart for God is more than just part of our everyday life. When crisis comes, we need to see God as our ever-present companion. That He's right there. And our hearts need to be in line with His heart. We need to be loving God and serving Him and spending time in His Word, appreciating the beauty of salvation. We've got to have hearts that are just tender for God. Because when we're facing giants, big decisions, hard choices, we need to be anchored to God as we face those things. The Bible says in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask what? Of God. Of God. You see, when I have a crisis, I have a desperate need that arises in a moment, I call my closest friends. I call my closest friends because they're the first people that come to my mind. But the closest friend of all that we should have is God Himself. We should be so close to God that the first thought, the first shadow of the giant that's coming through the door should bring us to our face-to-face with God. Say, God, make sure I'm centered upon You. The Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart, a man who sought what God sought, who wanted what God wanted. It's very, very important. You know, I'm reminded, Ruth, right now you're going through a hard thing. Okay, and not everybody knows about it, but Ruth, I want to just encourage you. Cling to the Lord. Seek God. Hang on to Him. He will never change. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave any of us. But see, if our heart's not tied to Him before, it's unlikely that it will be tied to Him when it happens. Get close and stay close to God. David did that. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. We live in a world that offers us a lot of distractions, a lot of opportunities to shift our focus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're a Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Says this in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Make sure that our heart is in God's hand. Make sure that our love for Him is right. Make sure that we're just having affection for Him and a fondness for Him and a desire for Him. David had a heart, a godly heart. And that was important because it allowed him to have godly perspective in this situation. Because the second stone is this. He was motivated by godly principles. David didn't have a cold heart or a hard heart or a selfish heart or a denying heart. He had a godly heart. And because he had a godly heart, he was able to recognize the situation that was before him and this giant as a biblical principle, not a personal threat. Turn to 1 Samuel again, chapter 17. Are we motivated by godly principles? When something scary happens in our life, something big comes up, something difficult faces us, maybe it's sudden, maybe it's emerging. Do we anchor our assessment of that situation and our choice of response to godly principles? Do we realize that at the end of the whole thing, that biblical principles will win out? that we must make our stand upon them. Don't do things out of fear. Don't do things out of anger, but do them because they're biblically based. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And take away the reproach from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of who? Of Saul? What's it say there? Of the living God. This guy's defying the army of the living God. That's a principle. You can't do that and get away with it. Who's going to do something? This giant had been marching out morning and evening. Hey, who's going to fight me? Who's going to fight me? Everybody else is quaking in their armor. He says, this isn't about a fight. This is about a principle. And folks, when we're tempted to be afraid, it's about a principle. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When we think that it's hopeless, it's about a principle. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. When we believe that it's never going to stop, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For every giant that walks through the door of your life and my life, there is a biblical principle that smacks them in the face. David knew the principle. He said, this guy doesn't have any right to be on that field making those claims. Verse 29, his brothers are getting on. Oh, you wanted to come and just spy out the army. You just wanted to be curious about the battle, didn't you? And David said in verse 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There's a reason for this. There's a reason to be here. There's a reason to take a stand. There's a reason to walk out on that field. And then in verses 45 through 47, he goes out there and we see what he says to Goliath. Then said David to the Philistine in verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You haven't defied the army. You haven't defied Saul. You're defying God. See, David knew the principle, the biblical principle. He knew where the real issue was. Folks, when we're facing hardships and difficult things, we can get caught up in the symptom and forget the real issue. The real issues are righteousness and truth and justice and judgment and love and mercy and grace. They're the things found in God's Word. And we will never fail if we grab a hold of those. When the big giant comes into our life, grab a hold of the truth of God's word. Grab a hold of the promises that God has made. Grab a hold of the things he's assured us of. David knew the principle. He wasn't afraid to go fight the guy because it wasn't him fighting. It was God just using him to fight him. He stood on principle. I can't tell you how many times I have seen people in the midst of crisis abandon principle because they get afraid. And I understand that. I was on a SWAT call out one time. It was a protracted call out that had lasted almost 20 hours. And we had searched the whole house extremely carefully. The guy was armed with a .44 Magnum pistol. And he was really, really crazy. And we're down to one room left to search. We know he's in there. He has to be in there. He didn't get out. And it's been a lot of tension and it's been a lot of stress. And we've been there a long time. Finally, we're poised outside this last door. And I'm there, and the guy in front of me is the number one guy, has a shield. And my job is to cover him. And we're actually going to hold up, pull back now and make a plan, because we now know exactly where he's at. We can exploit that. But all of a sudden, this one guy, he couldn't wait any longer. The stress got too much. He just had to have it over. No matter how it ended, he had to have it over. And he just opens the door and goes in. And I'm his number two guy, so I have to go as well. And he goes in, and he's got the shield in front of him, and he goes around the room. And the bad guy's on his hands and knees on the floor because we'd gassed the house. And he has his hand on the .44 Magnum pistol. And he watches this guy go around, but he sees that he has a shield. And then I come through the door, and he's still watching that guy when I step up. And fortunately, it ended peacefully. But the point is simply this. That guy could have got himself hurt or me hurt or the bad guy killed because he didn't maintain sound principles. He got scared. He got anxious. And I get that. It was a scary time. But he violated principles. Folks, when things get hard, the worst thing we can do is abandon the truth of God's word to do things our own way. It's not going to work. It never does. You know, and it may not be that you have this giant crisis. You have just some small thing. Stick to God's principles. David goes on. He says, this day, verse 46, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand? That's not going to be me. God's going to give you to me. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This is about God. This is about a biblical principle. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword or the spear and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David's stand against the giant was based upon God's principles. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then it warns us, says, lean not on thy own understanding. It's very, very important. When we feel pressure and urgency and fear and concern and worry, to go to God and let his principles define our situation. Don't define them ourselves, because we're going to be biased and we're going to respond with a lot of wrong motives. Let God define the situation. Let the Word of God and the principles of God become the guiding principles by which we decide what to do and how to do it, so that we don't make what seems like a bad situation worse, but instead we rely on the Lord. Have a heart for God, and if we do, then we will be able to allow God's principles to motivate us to act. The third thing that David had was a heart of humility. You see, David wasn't doing this because it was all about David. He wasn't even supposed to be there. He was a shepherd boy. He didn't presume that he was a soldier. He never said he was. In chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, there's a point where David asked this question. David said to Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? He says, David's, who am I? Why I don't deserve any of this. This is not about me. See, David never made it about him. Everything he said was, this is about God. And I can't think of a time when we're more inclined to make it about us than when we're feeling and facing a giant. It feels so personal, and we want to make it about us, and that's natural. But it's very important, I think, that we hang on to humility. In James 4:6, it says this, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In the midst of a trial, of a difficult time, when we're facing a giant, the grace of God and the peace of God flows to those who are humble, who are open and looking for it. I can't stress enough how important this is. When facing the giants of our lives, the presence of pride sets us up for real failures. We say things like this, well, this shouldn't happen to me. This isn't fair. Why me? Those are all wasted words. They're pointless questions. Instead, we should say, God, I'm your servant. I'm in your command. I'm in your control. I trust in you. This is way bigger than me. And everything is. Folks, we have the facade of control, but don't really have control. You can drive down the road and somebody can, well, Tammy Lehman. Where's Tammy? Is she still here? Driving down the road and somebody runs a red light. You had no control over that, did you, Tammy? You're just doing what you're supposed to do. She was in the right lane. She was following the arrows and the traffic control devices, and somebody ran a red light and hit her. See, we don't really control very much, but the thing that we have the opportunity to control is our own hearts and our own minds. And David had a humility. He didn't try to be what he wasn't. The Bible says that when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. See, David didn't try to be what he wasn't. He was a shepherd boy. And how did he fight Goliath? As a shepherd boy. Saul tried to get him to take his armor, and he says, I can't wear this. I mean, it was the best looking armor, I'm sure, that there was there. It was the king's armor. I can't wear this. I'm not good with this. I might go out there looking good, but I'm going to be bad. And that brings out the point. It's not about appearance. It's not about appearance. We've got to have a humble heart, because a humble heart's a teachable heart. When the Holy Spirit's talking to us in the midst of a difficult time, and there's a crisis or there's a giant in our lives, we got to be listening to God. And humility is very, very important when it comes to listening to God. David had a humble heart. He was a humble guy. And that's a beautiful thing. And the fourth stone is, his humility made the next thing possible, which was confidence in God. He had complete confidence in God. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. David's talking to Saul, and in verse 37, he's telling him about his encounters and his experience as a shepherd. Now, can you imagine Saul, the king, with his armor and his armies, and this guy saying, "I'll fight him"? He said, "Well, you're a shepherd boy." He said, "That's okay. Let me tell you what I've done as a shepherd boy." Do you think that Saul was impressed? Probably not. He's probably having a hard time making the transferable skill from shepherd to soldier. David says this in verse 37. He says, "And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." See, David's confidence wasn't in him, it was in the Lord. He said, "God's going to do this." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on his helmet of brass and upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, test it out. But he says, I can't wear this, I haven't proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. David knew what we are told in Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. David knew that God was capable, that God, he didn't have to have confidence in him, he had to have confidence in God. And he did. Folks, when we're having a difficult time, when we are facing a giant in our lives, we have got to believe that God is bigger, that God is almighty, that God is sovereign, that God is powerful, that we serve the God who inhabits eternity, and that to him our giant is small, because it is. See, it's not that we have to face them, it's that through the power of the Lord we face them. And with when God before us, who can be against us? It's so important we remember this. Turn to Psalm 9, 9 and 10, please. You got a giant in your life, big situation you're facing. It's weighing you down, putting pressure on your hope and your joy. Psalm 9, 9 and 10 says, "But the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." See, David trusted God. He put his faith in him. He knew this was a biblical issue. He knew that this was a principle of the Lord. He was willing. He had a heart for God. He was humble. I'm reminded of what it says in Philippians 3:3, that we are to have no confidence in the flesh. None. Let's not depend on ourselves. There are circumstances in life that are so complex. The questions are so difficult to unravel in terms of their answer. And we don't know enough about today, let alone the future, to possibly get the right answer. We must rely upon the Lord. We must have our confidence in God. We see David with that. We can't have a divided dependence. We need to practice trusting God and having confidence in him every time. And the last stone that I want to point out was David had self-control. In a crisis, sometimes there's a temptation to suspend biblical principles, suspend conduct, suspend sound thinking, to say, well, this is an emergency. And somehow an emergency warrants some of these things, but it doesn't. David exercised profound self-control. As I read through that entire passage, he observed the scene. He asked good questions. He assessed the situation. He responded well to accusation of false motives. He communicated with the king. This is a shepherd boy talking to the king. He communicated with the king honestly. He evaluated his skills and experience compared to the current challenge. He rejected armor that wasn't good with. He armed himself thoughtfully. He communicated with the enemy upon the authority of God's principles. He used sound tactics. He executed his attack with precision, and he finished his attack with purpose. There was nothing about David's whole exercise that was random and happenstance. He was fully in control the whole time. Have you ever felt tempted to just lose it? Just to let it go? Folks, that will never get us where we need to get.
Goliath would not have fallen to David if he had been haphazard and random and scared and frenetic and everything else. Wasn't going to happen. We have got to maintain control. We've got to, the Bible calls it temperance. Keep control of ourselves and give our will to the Lord's and force our thinking back to God's and cling to biblical principles. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Trust Him. We've got to maintain that sense of self-control. In a battle, self-control is critically important. It is critically important. The person that panics loses, even in just a fight. If you panic, you lose. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Turn there with me, please. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. There are giants in the land. There are giants in the land of every life in this room. Some are right in front of us. Some are still over the horizon yet, but marching our way. But we don't have to be afraid of that. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a controlled response to a threat. It is a controlled response. Proverbs 25, 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We can't let go. We can't just let it fly. We've got to maintain this concept of self-control. The word used is temperate. In 1 Corinthians 9, 25, it says, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. That word means self-control. It means dominion from within. Dominion from within. If we surrender our control to the circumstance, then we have lost. We can't do that. We have to focus it upon. Take the privilege God has given us in having volition and will is ours to use to control our choices and to control our focus and look to God, stay centered on His principles, don't consider ourselves victims, be humble before the Lord, have a heart for Him, and trust in Him. It's so, so important. David took 5 stones. You know, there are some that say that he took 5 because Goliath had 4 brothers. He took 5. He was making that decision at that point in time based upon what was in front of him. There was a giant out there. I'm going to take 5. I think it's amazing that God tells us how many he took. But he took 5. And he went out there and he took care of business. And the giant says, he says, what am I, a dog that you're going to come with me, a stick and a sling? David says, no, I'm going to show you who God is. I'm not showing you who I am. I'm showing you who God is. And David faced the giant, and he did it with a godly heart. He did it motivated by godly principles. He did it with a heart of humility, dependence upon God, and with self-control. And we know how the story ends. What happens? By the way, that passage says that David ran at the giant. You ever read that? He ran at him. I mean, he was excited about this. You're defying God, and God chose me to take you down. When giants come into our life, we need to cling to the principles we see in God's Word. We need to have a heart for God. Have humility. See the biblical principles that are at play. Have confidence in God. And then act with self-control. Because David did that. And he slung that stone and he swung that sling. And that rock hit the guy right in the forehead. And Goliath went down. And David went over to Goliath. And since he didn't have a sword, he used Goliath's sword. And he cut off Goliath's head. He finished with purpose. All right. There's going to be giants in our lives, in all of our lives. There have been and there will be more. How are we going to face them? I encourage us to take the lesson from David. This young lad who took care of sheep certainly took care of the giant. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I would just pray you'd help us to be people that are like David, that see the situation for what it is, that are humble before you, dear God, that have no confidence in the flesh, but full confidence in you. Dear Lord, who realize that biblical principles are at the foundation of our choices. Dear God, that we would trust in you like he did. Dear God, and that we would act with self-control, that we might please you and see the glory of your Son shine through us. We would give you the glory and the praise today, God. Thank you for being the God who never leaves us or forsakes us. In Christ's name, amen. Would you please stand and turn with me to 352. 352. I would have loved to have been there that day, seen that. Would have been amazing. 352. Let's all stand together and sing. Victory in Jesus. It can be real against the giants.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You know, it may be that right now there's no giant in your life, but there's a giant in a friend of yours' life, and you can come alongside them and you can help them. Encourage them, point them to the truth of God's word. Help them face the giant. Help them get ready. Don't be like Saul, who gave him stuff he didn't need. Be a faithful friend that points him to the word, encourages him to humble themselves before the Lord, to depend upon the principles found in God's word, to realize the battle is the Lord's, and to exercise self-control. We can do that for each other, and we can do that in ourselves because we have Christ in us. Amen? Let's pray. God, I would pray that you would just be with each one today, Lord. I pray that we would apply the principles we've learned from what David did. And Lord, we would see the giants fall in our lives as well. God, I just pray you'd give us victory as you promise. Your word says that you own victory. So God, we certainly can expect it from you. And I pray that you would teach us as we go through the challenges of giants. Grow us as it talks about in James. Let us be perfect and complete, mature, lacking nothing, I pray. We give you the glory and the praise now. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.